be here in this service. Lord, I pray that you'd protect us while we're here and you'd protect us as we travel back home. Lord, please keep us safe and healthy. Please be with those that are sick, people that have problems. Lord, be with them and provide whatever need they have. Lord, I pray now in these next moments that you would help me to say exactly what you want said. Lord, I pray for liberty and clarity of thought. Pray for the physical ability to preach your message. I pray you'd help each one of us to be alert, to be attentive, to concentrate on the Word of God. I know every one of us have things going on in our lives. Lord, I pray just for these moments here that we would be able to put all that stuff aside and concentrate on your Word. Help us, Lord, I pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus and for his sake. Amen. The verses we just read record the sickness and healing of a king of Judah by the name of Hezekiah. And this was such a significant event, it is recorded three times in the Bible. Right here in 2 Kings 20, again in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, and a third time in Isaiah chapter 38. So three times the Holy Spirit records this event in the Bible. And today, Lord willing, I'm going to use what is recorded right here in 2 Kings 20 to preach a message titled, Take Your Lumps. Take Your Lumps. And in order to get to what will be the main emphasis or the main point of this message, there are five things that I want to draw out from this passage. First of all, I want you to look with me at verse number 1 and notice what I call the problem. The problem. Verse 1 begins by saying, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. That's the problem. Hezekiah the king becomes sick, and the Bible says that he was sick unto death. That means he had something that, if not cured, would be fatal. It's something that would end his time on earth. One reason why I want you to see this is because this shows me, and I hope it shows you, that bad things do happen to godly people. Now, oftentimes we say that bad things happen to good people. And while that may be true, I want all of us to understand that there are a lot of times when bad things happen to godly people. And the reason why I say that is because Hezekiah was a godly king. Matter of fact, he was one of the godliest kings to ever sit on the throne of Judah. Hold your place right here and go back just a couple of chapters to 2 Kings chapter 18. And notice some of what the Bible says about this man Hezekiah. 2 Kings chapter 18. In 2 Kings 18, verse number 1, the Bible says, Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. So his daddy was Ahaz. If you go back a couple more chapters to chapter 16, you learn that Ahaz was a wicked king. He was an ungodly man, a man that did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And yet, in spite of his ungodliness, Hezekiah is a godly king. One thing that ought to teach us is that just because you're raised by ungodly parents doesn't mean you have to be an ungodly person. But notice what the Bible says in verse number 2. The Bible says 25 years old was he when he began to reign. So he's 25 years old when Hezekiah begins to reign. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. Notice verse 3. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David his father did. Verse 4, he removed the high places and brake the images and cut down the groves and brake in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it and he called it Nehushtan. Verse 5, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. When it came to the matter of his faith, the matter of him trusting God, according to what I read in verse number 5, there was no king before or after that trusted God the way he did. Now that's saying something about this man. Look at verse number 6. It says, "For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not." So he was a godly man, and under his leadership, the people of Judah experienced a great revival. And yet, even though he was a godly man, he got sick. And he got sick unto death, the Bible says. So good things happen, bad things happen to godly people. It's important to understand that truth, because there are a whole lot of these prosperity preachers, these faith healers, charismatic people who want you to believe that if you ever get sick or you're poor or you have any kind of problems in your life, it's because of your sin. It's because you are out of the will of God. That is simply not what the Bible teaches. Hezekiah and many other people in the Bible let us know very plainly that sometimes bad things happen to godly people. Think about Job, for example. We've talked about Job's story. Not only did Job lose the majority of what he had materially speaking, but the Bible says that he got covered with boils from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. He's a sick man. He gets in such bad shape that his own wife says, "Man, you so bad off, the best thing you can do is just curse God and die. Put an end to all the misery." Well, what does the Bible say about Job? What kind of man was he? Did he get sick because he was an ungodly man? The Bible says he was a perfect man. Not perfect in the sense that he was sinless, but perfect in the sense that he was a mature man. A man that was completely given over in his heart to the Lord. It says he was an upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil. That means he stayed away from evil. He was a godly man. He didn't get sick because of his sin. According to the Bible, he got sick because of Satan. So don't ever fall into this idea that if something's going wrong in your life, it's because you've done something sinful. Now, I think all of us in here realize there are times when the problems we have are our own fault. Amen? Sometimes it is because we get out of the will of God. Sometimes it is because we go against the Scripture and we make bad decisions. But not every time is it that way. Sometimes it's just simply because that's how it is. For whatever reason, God chooses for us to go through a season of sickness and trial and tribulation in our lives. And that's something we need to learn from Hezekiah. Sometimes bad things happen to godly people. But here's a second thing I want you to notice in this passage. Not only the problem, I also want you to notice the prophet. 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse number 1. "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him." Now this is the prophet of the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. And he is sent from the Lord to the king with a message. So in this season of sickness, this time when he is sick unto death, God sends his prophet, his preacher, with a message for the king. One thing I learned here and really throughout the Bible is that many times when God has a message, he gives that message through a preacher. It may be a prophet as it was in the Old Testament times. It could be an evangelist, a missionary, a pastor. But many times when God has a message, he gives that message through a preacher. This, I believe, is a major reason why it's important that we keep ourselves under good, sound Bible preaching. Because God oftentimes speaks to us through a preacher. The Bible says that it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them which believe. The Bible says that God manifests His Word through preaching. Now the Lord could do it different ways. And in the Bible He did it different ways. Sometimes He sent an angel down and He used that angel to deliver a message. Sometimes He used an animal. Didn't He use Balaam's donkey to give a message? If you ever wonder whether or not the Lord can use you, let me just remind you, if He can use a jackass, He can use you. I've been accused of being one of those a few times in my life. He used angels. He used animals. But I'm going to tell you what He used the most. You study it out for yourself. You know what He used the most to deliver His message? He used a preacher. That's just God's way. The vast majority of the time when He got ready to deliver a message, He sent a man. You know what it says about John the Baptist? It says there was a man sent from God. And that man came with a message to the people of Israel. God's way is using a preacher. It's important. It is so important that we keep ourselves, and I'm talking about all of us, we need to keep ourselves under good, sound Bible preaching. How many of you in here this morning can say honestly that many times in your life God has spoken to you through a preacher? It happens, doesn't it? I've had people I don't know the times through the years that have said, just given testimony, said, man, I went to a service the other night and it was like I was the only person in the building. Or it was like that preacher knew everything that was going on in my life. You know what that is when that happens? That's not coincidence, by the way. Especially when you go into a service or a situation where you know that pastor doesn't have a clue what's going on in your life, and man, he hits it right on the head and just speaks right to your situation. You know what that is? That's not coincidence. That's God using a preacher to give you a message. And He does that very often. If you want to hear from God more often than you do, you know what you need to make a habit in your life? You need to make a habit of listening to good Bible preaching. I try to listen to preaching all during the week. Now, I preach almost every Sunday of my life, so I don't have the privilege that you people have. And that's exactly what I believe it is, not because I'm the one doing the preaching, but I believe that if you are able to go to a good Bible-believing church and sit under a Bible-believing preacher, that's a privilege that we should never take for granted. But I don't get to sit every Sunday and listen to preaching. I do the preaching, and I also consider that a privilege, but during the week I listen to a lot of preaching. I listen to it. You know why I listen to preaching? The main reason why I listen to preaching is because I want to hear God's message. If He's got something to say to me, I want to hear that message. Many times He speaks to me through a preacher. He'll do the same thing with you. If you'll position yourself to where you can listen to good preaching, God will speak to you. Here's a third thing I want you to notice in verse number 1. Not only the problem and the prophet, but I want you to notice the pronouncement. Verse 1, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah the son of Amoz came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Thus saith the Lord. That was God's message that He gave through His prophet. He tells Hezekiah to get his house in order because he's going to die and not live. That's really the message that none of us want to hear, amen. You don't want to hear that. Even those of us that brag so much about being Christians and talk about how much we look forward to going to heaven, you know, it's easy. And I'm not making lie. I'm just telling you, it's easy for us to sit here in church and talk about how much we look forward to heaven and how glorious it's going to be and how we're not afraid to die. It's easy to do that. But what's your response whenever you sit down in the doctor's office and he says, it's malignant? You know what I mean? That's when your faith is really put to the test right then. It's always easy when you're on the mountain and things are going good. What about whenever you get that negative message? The one that nobody really wants to hear. The truth of the matter is, we all want to go to heaven. We just don't want to die to get there, do we? That's the truth. We're looking forward to Jesus coming back. We're holding out hope that one day the Lord's going to come back and get us and take us out without us having to die. I pray that happens, amen? But I don't know what's going to happen. May not. We all want to go, we just don't want to die to get there. But you know what I notice here about this pronouncement? I notice that it's really not a positive message. It's a negative message. But Isaiah gives the message anyway. Even though it's not positive, even though it's something negative, he gives the message anyway. And that's what a preacher has to do. He has to give the good and the bad, the positive and the negative. He can't just give all good. He has to give it all if he's really going to do what God's called him to do. And I really believe that if a man loves God and loves people, he'll tell them the truth. You know something I'm tired of? I'm just going to get this off my chest. I am sick and tired of preachers, even preachers right around here, who are constantly talking about love and getting on Facebook and putting their cute little things on there about love and trying to make people that preach against sin look like somebody that doesn't love their congregation. And I am so sick of that mess. But I'm going to tell you what's the gospel truth. Whether you agree or not, this is the truth. If a man won't preach the whole counsel of God, he doesn't love God and he don't love you. Amen. Now that's the truth, see. But people talk all the time, love, love, love. If you really love somebody, you'll tell them the truth, won't you? You really love somebody. If a man won't tell the truth, I'm going to tell you what he is. He's a compromiser. He's a coward. He's a hireling prophet that is concerned more about his pocketbook than he is doing what he says God's called him to do. Now that's the truth. This was not a positive pronouncement, but he gave it anyway. Here's another thing I want you to notice, verses 3 through 6. Notice the prayer. Whenever he gets this pronouncement, I'm sorry, 2 through 6, not 3 through 6. Verse number 2, then he turned his face, that's Hezekiah, turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord. You know one of the best things you can do when you got a problem in your life, when you get a message that you don't really want to get, whether it's the doctor that gives it to you or whoever gives it to you, something you really wasn't expecting and really didn't want to hear, you know one of the best things you can do? You can take that to the Lord in prayer. It's one of the best things you can do. Just pray about it. Just take it to the Lord. Y'all believe this morning that prayer makes a difference? Just take it to the Lord. That old song says, oh, what needless pain we bear, all because. You know what I mean? That's the problem. We don't spend the time in prayer that we need when we have problems. Instead of us depending on ourselves, thinking we can work it out or worrying ourselves to the bone, what we ought to do is take it to the Lord in prayer. Look at the request he makes, verse number 3. I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore, cried bitterly. His request is, remember how I've lived. You know what he's doing? He's asking the Lord to heal him on the basis of how he lived up to this point in his life. He's saying, Lord, remember the way I lived. And heal me on that basis. What response did he get? Look at verse number 4. And it came to pass, afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, he hadn't gone very far, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, turn again, that is, turn around, and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. I believe God's able to heal people. I don't believe he heals every person this side of heaven, but I believe he's able to heal people. Do you know what I see in this? I see that God is able to hear and answer prayer. One reason why you need to take all your burdens and problems to the Lord is because God is a God that hears and answers prayer. And in this situation, he chose to heal a man that was sick unto death simply because that man prayed. He asked the Lord to have mercy on him, and God said, I will heal thee. He says, on the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord, and I will add unto thy days 15 years. He says, I'm going to give you 15 more years to live. 15 more years of life. This is a man whose time was just about over. But God heard his prayer and said, I'm going to give you 15 more years of life. One of the best things you can ever do is take your problems to the Lord in prayer. Here's one other thing I want you to see, and this really gets us to where I want to be in the message. I want you to notice the prescription in verse number 7. And Isaiah said, take a lump of figs. Take a lump of figs. And they took it. The days probably the people that's ministering to Hezekiah. And they took and laid it on the boil. That shows you what his problem was. He had some kind of boil that would eventually kill him if it wasn't healed. So they take this lump of figs and they lay it on the boil. You say, why did they take a lump of figs? I have no idea. I'm sure there's something to that. I don't have any idea. I just know that's what God said needed to be done. And that's what they did. They took this lump of figs and laid it on the boil, and what happened? The Bible says he recovered. He got better. You see the prescription. God says this is what needs to be done, and when it was done, the man recovered. He was healed of his sickness. Whenever the lump of figs was laid on the boil, the man recovered. One thing I see often in the scripture is illustrations just like this, where a person has a problem in their life. They got something going on, and God provides a prescription. He says, this is what you do, and if this is what you do, then this is what's going to happen. I think about a man by the name of Naaman. I referenced him a few weeks ago in a sermon. Naaman the leper, y'all remember him? Back in 2 Kings chapter 5, the Bible talks about how he was a captain, the captain of the Syrian army. And he was a man of valor. He was a courageous man, an honorable man, but the Bible says he was a leper. He had leprosy. We read on in 2 Kings chapter 5 where he is sent to Elisha the prophet, and this is what Elisha said to the man. He said, go and wash 7 times in the Jordan River. And at first, Naaman got mad. He didn't like the prescription. He didn't like what Elisha told him to do, but then his servants talked to him. And he decided to go and do what he was told to do. And the Bible says that his skin became as a little child. The man had a problem in his life. God said through his prophet, this is what you do to fix the problem. And when he did what God told him to do, he was healed. I think about an illustration in the New Testament. John chapter 9, there is a man that was born blind. Y'all remember that story? Man born blind. Jesus and his disciples come walking by and they see the fellow and they say, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? What a thing to ask. But you know what that shows? That shows that a lot of people think in their mind every time somebody's got a problem it's because of their sin. Somebody's done something wrong. But they said, who did sin, this man or his parents? And Jesus said it wasn't either one. And in that passage there, the Lord Jesus, this is what it says he did. It says that he spat on the ground. You know what that means? He spat on the ground. He spit on the ground. And the Bible says that with that spit, he made clay. With the spittle. You talk about, how would you like it if you went to the doctor, told your doctor you had a problem, you know. And he just says, come on over here and let me fix you up. Probably wouldn't like that too much. Jesus spits on the ground, gets down and makes clay, forms clay out of the spittle. Then he puts that on the man's eyes, and this is what he says. He says, go wash in the pool of Siloam. You know what that was? That was the Lord's prescription for that man's problem. Let me ask you this. Could he have healed him in a different way? Couldn't he have just said, be healed? Couldn't he have done that? And the man would have been healed. That's not what he did. He spits on the ground, makes clay, anoints his eyes. He says, now you go wash in the pool of Siloam. I think sometimes the Lord tests us just to see how badly we want him to take care of the problem that we have in our lives. This man goes like Jesus told him to, and he washes in the pool of Siloam, and the Bible says he came seeing when he did what the Lord told him to do. When he followed the Lord's prescription, his problem was solved. What I'm saying to you is that we need to be willing to take our lumps. Now, when we use that expression, most of the time we're talking about things that are painful. We say, I had to take my lumps. We're talking about having to go through something painful, and oftentimes we're referring to having to go through something painful, endure something painful because of something we brought on ourselves. That's not what I'm talking about this morning when I say we need to take our lumps. What I'm saying is just like that lump of figs was taken and put on Hezekiah because that was a prescription, every one of us need to be willing to take our lumps in the sense that we are willing to do whatever God says we need to do to have the problem in our life taken care of. Because the truth of the matter is, the only way to have your problem fixed is to apply the prescription that is given by the Lord. You can try any other way you want, but it'll never be right until you do what God says is supposed to be done. And there are a lot of people that are trying to do it ways other than how God says, and it's not doing any good. It's not making any difference. The way to get the problem solved is to apply the prescription of the great physician. It's like going to a doctor and having a problem and him prescribing you a prescription. That's really all he can do, right? He can diagnose you and say, here, this is what's wrong with you. And he can fill you out a prescription and he can say, go get the prescription filled and take it. And if you take it, it'll make you better. But once he diagnoses you and gives you the prescription, he's really done all he can do. And you can have that prescription. You can say, you know what? I believe that doctor. I believe he told me the truth. And I believe that if I'll go get this prescription and I'll take this prescription, I'll get better. I believe it. I believe it. And you can walk around with that prescription in your pocket for weeks and months and years if you want to. But that prescription is not going to do you any good until you apply the prescription. If you want things to be better in your life, what I'm telling you is it's more than just hearing the prescription. You got to apply the prescription. You can sit in church Sunday after Sunday and listen to God's prescription and say, you know what? That was a good sermon. Lord, I believe that. I believe that's true. I believe that if I do that, it'll help me. It'll fix my problem. You can say you believe it all you want, but until you apply the prescription, it's not going to do you any good in your life. You have to apply the prescription. It's the same when it comes to reading the Bible. You can read the Bible and God show you what needs to be done to fix your problem. Say, Lord, I see that. Lord, I believe that. But until you're willing to do what God says, it's not going to make any difference in your life. You have to apply the prescription. When Isaiah said, take the lump of figs and put it on the boil, you know what they had to do? They had to take the lump of figs and put it on the boil for him to be recovered. If you want to help the situation or get the problem resolved, you got to be willing to take your lumps. You got to do what God says, whatever it is. For example, let me give you a few things to think about and I'll be finished. For example, if by chance you're here today and your problem is that you need to be born again, you know what you need to do? You need to take your lump this morning. How many of you understand that God has given a prescription that will take care of a person's need to be born again? He's done it, hasn't he? But like I said a moment ago, there are a lot of people trying to do it differently. I think about what Paul says in Romans chapter 10. He says that his prayer to God for Israel is that they would be saved. And he said the problem with them, they have a zeal, but it's not according to knowledge. He said they're going around trying to establish their own righteousness instead of submitting to the righteousness of God. You know what the people of Israel were doing, what Paul meant? Instead of just trusting in Jesus Christ, which is God's prescription for a lost man, they were trying to work their way into favor with God. There's a lot of people out there today, that's what they're trying to do. You know when a person who's lost to get born again? They can try whatever they want. But you know when they'll get born again? When they apply God's prescription for their problem. And his prescription is this. You're a sinner. And you're on your way to hell. But he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for your sins. And he was buried and rose again the third day. And if you'll trust him and what he did for you, he'll save you and put you into his family. That is the only way you can have that problem taken care of. You can spend your whole life trying to work your way into favor with God, and when your last breath is taken on this earth, you'll die and go to hell. To be born again, you have to apply God's prescription. That's his son, Jesus Christ. What about this? What if your problem here this morning is your backslid? Maybe you're away from the Lord. You need to get back in fellowship with God. The Lord has provided a prescription for that. You know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to come back to where you left him. How many of you realize this morning that if you're backslid, God's not the one with the problem? God's not the one that moved, is he? If you're backslid, think about it, backslid. That means here, this is where God is, and you slid back from him. You're going to have to come back to where he's at if you're going to get back in fellowship with the Lord. You're going to have to come back to where you left him. I think about the story of the prodigal son. Here's a man, he's got these two boys. One of them gets his inheritance, he runs off. You know what he did? He left his daddy. His daddy didn't leave him. Right? He goes off into the far country. His daddy's the same place he's always been. He's the one that left his father. And you know what had to happen in order for that fellow to get back in fellowship with his daddy? He had to come to his senses and get out of that nasty hog pen where he was at in the far country and come back home to his daddy. And until he did that, he was not in fellowship with his father. If you've gotten away from God this morning, you don't need to sit around waiting on him to come to you. He's not the one that left. You are the one that slid back from God. And his prescription, if you want to get back in fellowship with him, is you have to confess and come back to him. Don't be sitting around waiting on him to come to you. You got to come back to the Lord. When you do that, the fellowship will be restored. What about if your problem is that you're still a babe in Christ? What about if that's your problem? Now, I don't mean somebody that just got saved, because like I mentioned the other day, every person starts out a babe in Christ. Do you know what the problem is? The problem is you have people that saved for 20 years and they're still a baby. Now that's a problem, right? You wouldn't think that was normal, would you, if you've seen that in a person. Somebody gives birth to a baby and you see them, they're a little baby, and you run across them 20 years later and they're still in diapers sucking on a pacifier. You'd think there's something wrong with that picture, wouldn't you? Because that's not how that's supposed to be. And it's not how it's supposed to be spiritually. When a person gets saved, they start out as a babe in Christ, but they're to grow and mature just like people do physically. But a lot of people who have been saved for years and years have never grown, and right now they're still a babe in Christ. I think about the church at Corinth. One thing that Paul confronted that church about is how they were still spiritual babies. They had never grown and matured spiritually. Maybe that's your problem today. The Lord has a prescription for that problem. If you're willing to follow his prescription, you can begin to grow and mature in your life. But it's not going to happen by accident. If you're just sitting around waiting on God to grow you with you not having any involvement in that situation at all, it's not going to happen. You'll begin to grow when you decide you want to grow and you start doing what God says you are supposed to do in order to grow. That's when the growth will take place in your life, not until then. The Bible says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. I've run across people so many times through the years, and this is not meant to be a critical statement, it's just the truth. I've run across people and you talk to them, Brother Keith, I just don't understand why I'm growing. I just don't grow. I don't grow. I don't understand. And then you begin to ask questions. And you're not asking questions to be judgmental. You're just trying to figure out what's going on in the situation. Because if somebody says, I'm saved, and then they tell you I'm not growing, obviously there's a problem, right? Because if you're saved, you ought to be growing. So they tell you, I don't understand why I'm not growing. You begin to ask questions. You begin to inquire as to what's going on. And you ask them something this simple. How much do you read your Bible? The answer to that will shed some light many times on why a person is not growing spiritually. Because this is what I can promise you. You will never grow spiritually if you neglect your Bible. It's just not going to happen. So you can say all you want. I want to grow. Well, it's just like I said earlier. God will test you to see how much you want the problem fixed. You say you want to grow. You want to mature. How much do you want to grow? God's not going to just reach down and make you grow. You're going to have to do what He says do in order to grow. How much are you willing to spend time in prayer? How much are you willing to spend time in the Bible? Don't walk around all the time saying you want to grow if you're not willing to do what God says to do in order to grow. Just say it like this. Be honest about it. Say, I know I need to grow, but the truth of the matter is I'm not willing to put in the time in order to grow, because that's the truth the majority of the time. People are just not willing to do what God says to grow. How about this? How about if your problem is bitterness this morning? Maybe you came in this service today and you have a problem with bitterness. And I'll tell you one thing. Through these years of being in the ministry, I have run across a whole lot of saved people. They don't drink. They don't smoke. They don't do dope. They don't run around on their spouse. They don't gamble. They don't do all those things that are so bad. You know what I mean? All those horrible, hellish things. They don't do any of that. But they live every day of their life eat up with bitterness in their heart towards somebody else. And they look down their nose at all these other people that drink, smoke, and cuss and all that stuff. Oh, what heathen people, ungodly people. And they're walking around every day with a heart full of bitterness towards somebody. If that's your problem this morning, I just want to give you some good news. I want you to understand there's a prescription for that problem. You don't have to live in bitterness. Y'all know that? You don't have to live with bitterness in your heart toward anybody. You don't have to. No matter what that person's done to you, and I'm not belittling what somebody might have done. You might have been treated very bad. Somebody may have hurt you very deeply. But I want you to understand that it is not the will of God for you to live your life full of bitterness toward that person, whoever it is, no matter what they've done. And if you want it, the Lord can help you with that problem. But again, He's not going to just reach down without any participation from you and take the bitterness out of your heart. You're going to have to be willing to do what He says in order for Him to fix that problem in your life. Let me ask you something this morning. You say, I just don't want to have this bitterness in my heart. Lord, I don't want it to be there anymore. Let me ask you this. Here's a simple question. Are you willing, right now in this service today, to say and mean it, Lord, I forgive them? Are you willing to do that? So I just can't do that now. Not after what they've said to me, not after how they hurt me. I ain't going to forgive them. I've had people look me in my eyes before and say, look, I know I need to, but I'll never forgive them. You know what I want to say to you if that's your thought this morning? You'll never overcome bitterness if that's how you feel about it. You'll live and die a sour, bitter person, because until you're willing to release that and forgive that person, you're not going to get better. Here's one last thing, and I'm going to quit. And I could just go on and on. I'm just giving you some illustrations about these problems. You need to take your lumps. You willing to do what God says? How about if you came in here this morning, you're burdened down with a problem? And I imagine, to some extent, everybody in this building's got something that's weighing on them this morning. Some maybe more than others, but you very rarely meet anybody, right, that doesn't have some kind of problem going on in their life. A lot of people are carrying around this heavy burden, weighted down by something. That's what's going on in their life, under a heavy load. The good news is that there's a prescription for that problem. Are you willing to take your lump this morning? Are you willing to do what God has said do? Got a heavy burden on you. You know what God says that every Christian is to do with the burdens they have? What does the Bible say? Psalm 55:22. What does the Lord say? The Lord says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain thee. Cast thy burden. You know what that means? That means give it to him. Don't continue to walk around and try to shoulder it yourself. Give it to God. Let the Lord take care of it. Here's what I can tell you. As long as you want to hang on to it and just keep trying to work it out for yourself, that's exactly what's going to go on. But whenever you decide that you're going to take that burden and put it on the Lord, then he'll take that burden. And he'll shoulder it for you. Are you willing to take your lumps this morning? Maybe your problem is something that I didn't even mention. God has a prescription for that problem. Are you willing to do what he says in order to fix that problem? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. As we get ready for our invitation this morning, I ask you again, are you willing to take your lump? Are you willing to do what God says do in order to fix the problem? You need to be saved. Are you willing to trust Jesus Christ this morning to put your faith in him? You backslid. Are you willing to come out of that pig pen in that far country and come back to where you left the Lord? Are you willing to do that? You're a spiritual baby this morning. Have it grown? Are you willing to start doing what God said to grow? Are you bitter today? Holding on to something that you should have let go of a long time ago? You burdened down? Why don't you give it to the Lord? Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for letting us be here. Thank you for your word. Help us to apply it to our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Scott.
Turn to page 394.
Let's all stand. 394.